I want to read from verse 21 just to the end of the chapter there, verse 28. There we read, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.'" Verse 23. "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples." With God's help this morning, we've asked Pastor Alexander León from Costa Rica, who we've been praying for much time. He has visited with us last year. And we just asked him to do just to share a report of the marvelous works of God there in Costa Rica, in the own church now that he pastors. And so we invited him to do that. But before he comes forward, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven again, we come to you. Lord, now we need your help to draw our attention, our focus, even our love and our affections upon the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have your way with your church this morning. May you even stir it up in our hearts, Lord, to hear, to rejoice of the great and wonderful works of God throughout the nations. May we get excited about what you're doing in different places. May it urge us to be people of prayer, people dedicated to seeking the face of God so that all the elect may be brought in and we may have a special part in that, knowing that indeed the mission of the church is to go forth to the nations and to see many enemies of God turned into sons of God. May you help us by your Spirit. And you help Pastor Alex this morning and even tonight as he preaches to us. Help him in the language. Help him in clarity of thought, clarity of mind. And give him and grant him that unction from the Spirit of the living God. We ask that you bless our time together. Amen.
God for this blessing, this privilege that He gives me to share with you this morning. And I do come, as we have just read, to tell you about what God is doing in our country, how He has opened many doors in our churches there. So, some of you may remember my last time with you last year. Then in that occasion, I told you a little bit about my testimony, how the Lord saved me. And so today I want to share with you what the Lord did in our church in Los Lagos. We started working together in 2009. We were, before that, I was in a church for 10 years. It was a Baptist church, but when I got there, I didn't know what a Baptist church was, and so I wanted to know about them, and I read about Baptists. And then I found the Spurgeon sermons and the historical confessions of faith and so on. And I found out very quickly that there was a difference, a very important difference in what I was reading from the past, from the great men of God, and what I was seeing in that church where I was. Well, I'll share a little bit about this with some brothers recently, but that was the church that is, they're called Landmark Baptists. Maybe you know about them. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you. They believe that they come from an interrupted succession of churches since the time of the apostles. They are the true churches. So this is a big issue because they rest a lot on the how historical churches they are. And it is true in our context in Costa Rica, most churches are not Baptist but Pentecostal or neo-Pentecostal churches. So churches that you don't know where they come from. They just somebody knows something about the Bible and start preaching, and they make their own church with their own name, with their own way of thinking. They have no historical background or a heritage or something. They're like that. So Baptists feel very proud of being Baptists. But the problem is that, as you see in the Bible, there is no warranty that just because you come from a very old church, you're all right. The Catholic Church is very old and very wrong. And so it was an issue there. So I stood that in that church trying to convince them that historical Baptists were different. And I was there for 10 years working for a Reformation that never came. And never came because of that attitude. We should have this attitude. Lord, tell us what to do. And we need the humility or humbleness to accept that probably many things that we do, we should not do. And many things that we should be doing, we're not doing. And with that attitude, then you can improve all the time. Otherwise, you're going to be there just comparing yourself with churches that are worse than yours. You see? And that was the situation. For 10 years I was there. So in 2009, the Lord moved me. I'm not going to tell you the details, but how the Lord moved me to this church in Los Lagos, in Heredia. And we were four men there. Very enthusiastic of being a Reformed church. And then we found out that, yes, we believed the Reformed theology, but it is not just something that you believe. You have to apply in all your life, and it was not easy. So we started working, and by the grace of God, we were able to ask for help. You cannot do it on your own. So, and the Lord provided, and then a brother from Puerto Rico, he came to Costa Rica, and another one from Dominican Republic to teach us, to show us how you examine candidates for the eldership or for deacons. And so we went into the whole process, and after that, thank God, we started working with four elders and two deacons. We were not able to dedicate completely to the ministry. The four of us had our regular jobs, And he was like that for 13 years. But the Lord blessed our efforts and and we started with a membership of 35 people signing the covenant. Because it was it was an old church. Actually, that church had at that time maybe almost 30 years of being there, but it was like that. Just a church, they were used to it. I mean, no changes, no improvements. But the Lord was gracious with us and He helped us. We signed, as I said, the covenant, 35 people, and eventually we realized that some of them that signed the covenant were not understanding anything. They just signed it. Because, you see, it was like this. I go to this church. I've been coming for several years. I have no intention to look for another one. Okay, I'm going to sign. But I'm not understanding anything about this new thing. About commitment, about... No. So, eventually, we lost some members. But yet, we kept preaching the word, trying to apply the word that was preached. Because the former pastor, he was a very good preacher, excellent preacher. But you know, you don't need just an excellent preacher. You need to apply the word to your life, to be able and willing to change, to make changes in your life, in your family, in the way we do things. So we stood there, and eventually the Lord blessed our work there. Nowadays, that church has more than 200 members, and the attendance is around 300. They're very blessed at the... Thank God. We planted another church in the Pacific Coast area. And then with them, with the new church, we planted another one in Liberia, where you know that that Pastor Luke was there for a time. Then we had this in our heart that for many years that we needed a church in our capital city. Because we have in our church people coming from very distant places to our church. Some of them taking two buses or even three buses to get to church. We were praying for that a lot. And then the Lord answered our prayers, because after the COVID and all that, we had this opportunity to rent a place in a capital city. Because you see, when all this of COVID, they started doing, it was not very common in our country, but now it is, work from home. And so it was a, the offices of a bank in a third floor, they just stopped using those offices, and that's the place that we were able to rent since they were not using it anymore. And we started services last year. The church was formally constituted with 25 members that were dismissed in peace from Los Lagos. They were members in the other church, but they came to start the new church. In all our efforts, since we were four, and the four of us working, we took turns to to our duties. So one trimester I would be pastoring, the other trimester another pastor would come, and so on. My turn to shepherd this new flock was in January. So last January I started coming to preach and supply the whatever they need as a pastor, you know, counseling, being there, etc. And so in last February they sent a request to the church in Los Lagos for me to stay there as a permanent pastor. And then after, it was not that easy because we had to explain to the church the reasons and how this was a good decision. Because before giving an answer, I can tell you that I had very hard times in prayers, weeks of fasting. But finally, I was convinced that this was the Lord's will. And then I asked for my dismissal in the church. So I've been preaching there since last January, and now I am a permanent pastor there. But also we have among those 25 that came to form the new church, we had one young man who was being trained in Los Lagos. He had 2 years preaching in our church from time to time. And then he was nominated, and then the whole process was made, the examination, etc. And the church confirmed that he was another gift from Christ to the church. And that is what we need to understand. A pastor is a gift from Christ to the church. I am I'm taking advantage of this opportunity to speak with you so that you may, because I don't know the details of your church life, but I know about things happening in your country and what I see and what I hear in some other churches that I... And it is the concept of a pastor in a church, of an elder, of the officers, of deacons in churches. It seems to me that in many churches they look at the officers as employees, as if it was just, we need a carpenter, then hire someone. It is not like that. It is a calling from God, and it's a gift from Christ to the church. So that when you elect a new elder, you need to be reminded of that. This is the gift of Christ to this church, and I'm going to be grateful and for this, as the word says, that you have to have them in great esteem because of the work they do. But yes, this trip has been full of providences, of good providences. I'm telling you this because I have a friend. He, 6 years ago we met, I don't remember exactly the situation, but over the internet. He was a young pastor here, a pastor in a Southern Baptist church, but having lots of problems because of this that I'm telling you. He's being treated like just like a professional that was... It was a contract or something like that. And he was eager to see reformation in his church, and it was not possible. So we started a friendship. This young pastor, the common thing is that he was born in Costa Rica because his parents were missionaries in our country. So he lived in our country for 18 years, and then he came to the States, and he went to seminary, and he was pastoring a church. And he went through many difficult situations, but very, it's the providence of God. I was able to connect him with good churches, and now he is serving the Lord in Albany, in New York. And so I was there the last Lord's Day preaching, and so I'm amazed about what the Lord is doing. But what I was telling you is this. We need to go back to the Bible in everything, because it is easy to just say it, go back to the Bible. But then we need to understand, go back to the Bible in everything, but starting in how we do church, how we behave as church members. So the Lord bless those efforts, and I'm there in this new church. It is located in what we call the Central Avenue, the Central Street, just a quarter from the Metropolitan Cathedral in our country. So we have this very convenient place. That's why we have lots of visitors, thank God. At the moment, we are now 45 members, and our attendance is about 100 during the mornings, 90-100 during the morning service, and in the evening service around 60. So we're praying to see more fruit for the Lord, because we are in that very convenient location. What I mean with this is that you can take a bus from everywhere you live to the capital city, just with one bus. And then the Lord, in our church in Los Lagos, after pandemia or COVID or whatever, we saw a movement, and I believe it is from the Lord. Let me tell you about this. We have our church is not very big. So during those, that there were a time when we were not able to meet. We had to just stream our services. It was awful for us. After that, when we were allowed to meet again, many of those who were not members but were going to church for I don't know, many a long time, but without asking for membership, they started asking, and so we had baptism after a baptism, and then we had no space, and then we had to make lists who come to the morning service and who can, attend the evening service. And then we had this list. You knew where to sit. You know, we had to label the seat and tell you where is your seat. And then just to have an order like that. And so the deacons, we're receiving lots of messages on Saturday nights and Monday mornings from people assigned to just one of the services, asking if someone just canceled so that they could come to the second one as well. And we see that as the hand of the Lord, because we were not pushing someone, but they were eager to be in the second service as well. So it is a blessing from the Lord to see them with this seal for the Lord. So we could call that maybe a local revival, people coming to church with commitment. There are also two churches that embraced Reformation. They were already established churches, but one of them was a Baptist church whose pastor was there for 30 years pastoring, and then his son embraced the doctrines of grace. I knew him, and I invited him to a conference. So he was so enthusiastic about Reformation, and then they were able to embrace a more confessional position, and so we have two more churches in our fellowship. So we have now six churches that we work in the same path. Now, I'm going to share with you a little about challenges that we have in San Jose. San Jose is our capital city. We have people, families, coming from other countries in their journey to United States. But many of them will not do it because it is very difficult. We have families coming from Cuba, from Venezuela, mostly. And it is a very difficult situation, very, very sad to see in that central avenue that where we are located. You can find a family from Venezuela in every block, maybe two families per block, begging for money to continue their journey. They have been through difficult and awful situations in the jungle. They are now in our country. So we need wisdom to understand the better way to help them. Because I'm sure that if they're in our country, some of them were brought to the Lord for them to listen to the gospel that they don't know in where they were. And I know it is going to be a difficult problem for our country. And we have no resources. But if someone, we're in a third floor, that's what, we cannot go and help every family in the street because they're lost. But that's what I have set in my mind. If someone comes up and asks for help, then we can take advantage of that opportunity. Because yes, we might think how to help them. But first of all, sit there. I'm going to preach you the gospel of Christ. That's the greatest need. They are not aware of that. They think that all their problems are going to be solved when they're here in the States. But that's not their biggest problem. What is their biggest problem? They don't know Christ. And if they don't know Christ, they are lost. And we many times forget that this is the main issue. They need Christ. Thank God some of those families, I mean, some other families come not to beg in the streets, but they contacted us before leaving their countries. We have three families in our church from Cuba. I have already spoken with the pastor in their church. They're going to be received as members soon, and they are already, the men found jobs in our country, and they're working. So it is not easy. It's hard, but pray for them. They are doing their best. We have also a family from Venezuela, and they are asking for membership as well. What I want to share is this. We are not insensible to their physical needs, but we don't want to just do social work. We want always to keep in mind that the best, the main necessity of man is having Christ, having life in Him. Because if you have Him, whatever your situation is, and if you're poor and you have to be poor in this life, it is okay. But you have Christ. But you may have everything. You know this. I'm just reminding you. You may have all the world. You may live in the best country like this one. Without Christ, that's nothing. Now, I can... I want to tell you about my concern about more workers for the labor of the Lord. I'm very glad to see that you have now three ordained elders here, and you keep training the next generation. I told one of my brothers, I don't want to wait till I'm 75 years old to start asking myself what I'm going to do, who is going to pastor after me. No, we need to train the next generation. And if you're here and if you're young, think about it. Maybe not now, maybe in 10 years. Doesn't matter, but you need to train yourselves to serve the Lord. Maybe in the ministry, but maybe as a well-trained member of the church who will support the church, who will stand for truth in difficult times. You see, I think you know who Martin Lloyd-Jones was. He was a very famous preacher because he was a great preacher. And the books you see about him and, oh, what a ministry he had in England. Well, I have a friend of mine who recently visited London, and so he wanted to go there, you know, because that admiration that we have for that kind of preachers, as a Spurgeon and some others. And he went to Westminster Chapel in London, and what he saw disappointed him very much, because it doesn't seem like a biblical church anymore. It seems like a worldly church, and with all these new and modern additions to the worship service. But then we have to face this. What happened? Where the man faithful to truth in that church, standing for truth, to stop that wave? It just came with maybe new leadership, you might say, but who allowed them to be their leaders? So we need in our churches strong men, strong families, rooted in the truth of the Bible. That's what I urge you to do, please. And good news, we have some two more churches. And in this case, it is very encouraging, because they were not Baptist churches, but churches coming from the Neo-Pentecostal movement. And their pastors are embracing Reformation, but true Reformation. I mean, not just the some doctrines about salvation, but they're changing and willing to change. And this is very good. You know, one of those pastors, they came from a movement, awful movement with apostles and prophets and things like that. But they are called, they're in a place named or called Orotina. And he told me, "Brother, I repent of so many tonterías,
foolishness
that I've been preaching for years. I repent of that." And that is the and you see, they were recognized or they were known in that area as the noisiest church in town. They had four demandas. Somebody went to court just to complain about the kind of noise they had. And you see, we have no places like this with space. We have everything is near. And then and he told me, and I counted that as a something good. They're complaining about our noise, but it was like that noise. But we are called to make an impact, not on things like that noise. But yes, you need to make an impact in the place you are located. So I ask you, does this place has been impacted by this church? How? With the gospel, not with somewhere activities or crazy things or new ideas, with the gospel. Please, brothers and sisters, think of this. You need to impact your family, your neighborhood with the gospel. And so they are. This brother is embracing Reformation, and we're going to make some visits for him to, for them to establish as a Bible church. Pray for them as well. The other one is more difficult because they belong to a denomination, and you know, when you belong to a denomination, everything you have belongs to that denomination. So it is more difficult. They are going to lose everything. In the other case, they just rent and they are independent is easier. But every church will face their own challenges. Pray for more workers. In all those 13 years that I've been serving the Lord, I had my own job, so we didn't receive us a salary or something. So that was, and it was one of the reasons that I accepted the call to the new church, because I said, okay, I have a job and I have a very convenient schedule, and then I can serve the Lord there. You see, but I was ordained in that church, and the next month, I was laid off my job. So it was like a message from the Lord that, like saying, it is time. Because I was like looking for some other opportunities, but then I felt that maybe it is time to see if I can dedicate myself completely to the ministry. The Lord provided in a very amazing way. We knew someone who had contact with the Heart Cry Missionary Society, and then I went through the whole process. They made some interviews to pastors who knew me, and they investigated my ministry, and we had interviews, and after a whole thing, they approved the help. And then since last September, since last month, I am fully supported, you know, me and my family, by the Missionary Society. So I praise the Lord for that. And then it is amazing what the Lord does. I have, in all those years as well, we have the practice of having Bible studies wherever is they open a door. That's what I wanted to read this again. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He, the Lord, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And the Lord has opened many doors, Bible studies in many places, and from those Bible studies we have maybe one, maybe two new members in our church. And at the moment I'm teaching a Bible study on Monday nights in one place, and on Thursday nights in the opposite place. And in one of those places, it is a possibility for a new church, I believe, in the future, maybe in a year, I don't know when, the Lord knows. But that is what we need to do. Preach the word. Wherever they open a door, go there and share the gospel. That's what the Lord, that's why we are here. The Lord, when He saved us, it is not the final step. I mean, He saved us for something. For us to share the wonderful works of the Lord. And I'm going to finish with this. And I'm asking you, if that is what we are called, and if you believe that it is what the Lord says, that's the reason for us. He saved us to give testimony, to speak about the great work of the Lord through Christ. Are we doing it? My prayer request for you, for our church, for every church of God, is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So two questions. Is the word of the Lord glorified among you? Has the word of the Lord free course among you? Pray for it. And pray that in every church, we have just sung, we long that the churches of God might be full. We're not after numbers, you know that. We're not after numbers, but we want churches full of people following Christ. Keep praying for that. Keep working for that. Keep praying for us. God bless you, brothers. Okay. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we praise You. And we thank You that You adopted us as your children, and we can call upon you. We can call you Abba, Father. We praise you, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior. We praise you, Lamb of God. We praise you, Holy Spirit of God. You are our comforter, our guide, our helper. We praise you, the only one and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May your blessing be upon this church. May the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, be glorified among my brothers and sisters here. Amen.
Amen.